You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
We've been talking about this topic of possessing the promise, because God has given us a promise. How many people here, God has given you a promise? God has given you a destiny. God has given you a vision for your life. God has given you a dream for your life. And so we've talked a lot about over the last past season of seeing the vision, of knowing the vision. You've probably dreamed about what God is doing. You've probably talked about, you prayed about it. But God gave us a word that it's our season to possess the promise. Look at somebody, say possess. And so we've been discussing that over the last few weeks, and it's been our series. It's been something very much in our heart, possessing the promise. Because we need first the vision to see it first, but then we talked also about boldness. We talked about leadership. You gotta step up and be a leader if you want to possess. And we looked at what it said in the course of time with Joshua. In Joshua 1, we saw how God gave a charge to Joshua, and then we saw also how Joshua gave a charge to the people, and we saw how the people responded to Joshua. So today I want to continue in that vein. So if you'll go with me to Joshua chapter 4, and this is so amazing how Joshua takes the children of Israel from a place that's a wilderness, it's a desert place, to a place of promise. Because I know that's what many of us are believing for, is that God is going to take where we are, and some of us may be in a desert season, some of us may be in a difficult time, and God wants to take you from where you are to your place of promise. So we pick up our story here, and they're at the Jordan River, and it says in Joshua 4, it says, so Joshua called together the 12 men he had chosen, one from each of the tribes of Israel, and he told them, go into the middle of the Jordan, in front of the ark of the Lord your God. Each of you must pick up one stone and carry it on your shoulder. 12 stones in all, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. We will use these stones to build a memorial. In the future, your children will ask you, what do these stones mean? Then you can tell them, they remind us that the Jordan River stopped when the ark of the Lord's covenant went across. And these stones will stand as a memorial among the people of Israel forever. So the men did as Joshua commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, one from each tribe, just as the Lord had told Joshua. And they carried them to a place where they camped for the night and constructed a memorial there. So the people of God has just crossed over the River Jordan on dry land, and it's a miracle. And God says, Joshua says, let's take 12 stones. God tells Joshua. And so they take 12 stones. Say 12 stones with him. And what this means to us today is, let your life be governed by the principle of testimony. Let your life be governed. 12 is a special number in the Bible because it has the symbolism of government. And so we want our life to be governed by the principle of testimony. When God does something special in our lives, that's why we've been talking about these testimonies lately. What has God done for us? What has God done for you? What has God done in the body? What has God done in the church? What has God done in our families? And allowing the principle of testimony to govern our life. And every time God does something to make a memory, to make a memorial, when we live our lives as memorials, we are positioned for future miracles. Can I tell you that? When we stop and we take what God has done and we say, I'm going to remember, I'm going to make a memorial of this event because I am inviting God to do more of the same in my life. I'm making this testimony part of my life. I want my life to be governed by the principle of testimony. So then what happens is Joshua tells these 12 men to pick up the stones. Not just anybody, 12 hand-selected men. Can I tell you, not just anybody should handle your testimony.
That's right.
See, sometimes people want to weigh in. They want to give their opinion on your testimony. Can I tell you something? You weren't there when God did for me what God did for me. You can be blessed by my testimony. You can be encouraged by my testimony, but you cannot give your opinion about my testimony. That's what God did for me. So Joshua hand-selected the people that would handle the testimony. So these 12 men, they pick up these stones. Let your life be governed by godly relationships. Not just anybody's ready to handle what God has done in your life. Not everybody's going to understand. Not everybody's going to value what God has done in your life. So you got to be careful. You have to make sure that your life is governed by godly relationship. God will bring some people into your life that know how to handle your testimony. They can see by the Spirit what God is doing in your life, and they know how to respect what God is doing and what God has done and what God will continue to do. Get some people around you that are godly relationships. Godly relationships equal godly accountability. Sometimes you need a godly relationship around you to remind you what God did and what God is doing in your life. Sometimes we get to a place where we forget what God has done, but maybe there's some godly relationships that they're taking that stone and they're saying, hey, do you remember when God did this for you? When God did this for us? And they're that person that's a godly relationship in your life that's carrying that memorial with them. So it's that accountability. When we aren't accountable, we're susceptible to deception. Can I tell you, the enemy's always trying to confuse you about what God is really doing in your life. When you just go through a difficult season, the enemy tries to sneak in there because you're a little bit tired, you're a little bit weary, and maybe you're susceptible to being deceived about what God is really doing in your life. But accountability helps to step in and help us carry the testimony. Joshua didn't carry the testimony all the way to Gilgal by himself. There was 12 men helping him carry the testimony. And then in Joshua 4:6 and 4:8, I like this. They take the 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan River. Can I tell you, in the middle of your testimony, you need to begin to lift up those testimonies, because sometimes we don't celebrate until the whole situation is done. But sometimes right in the middle, we need to go ahead and take note and go ahead and take account for what God is doing in our lives and say, hey, I'm picking this up and I'm taking this with me. I'm taking this to heart because I realize what God is doing in the midst, right in the middle of the Jordan River. They took these 12 stones out. Remember what God has done and what God has brought you through, and take a souvenir with you. Don't leave without a souvenir. You fought the fight, you may as well take a souvenir with you. There's a gift shop right in the middle of your victory. I don't know if you know that. There's a gift shop right in the middle of your victory. So take 12 stones. Look at somebody and say, take 12 stones. There's spoils right in the middle of your victory. In Joshua 4:10, there's this powerful thing. You see, the priest, they remained until everything was done, until it was finished, until everything that God commanded was completed. They stayed right in the middle of the Jordan River. They were the first in, they were the last out. Let me tell you something. If you want to possess your promise, you got to have the leadership to be the first one in and the last one out. There's nobody that's going to believe in the vision that God has given you like you. So you got to be like the priest. You got to be the guardian. You got to get out there first. You got to stand in the middle of the battle, and you got to wait till everybody else crosses through, all the people that are helping you carry the testimony, and then you come out. Remain until it's done. Look at somebody and say, remain until it's done. I don't know if you know, but Jesus didn't get off the cross in the middle of what was going on, in the middle of the assignment. He stayed until he was able to say, it is finished. He remained until it was done. Don't stop short of everything God has told you to do. Only then will you walk in the fullness of your promise. See, we have to walk it through to complete obedience. We have to walk it through to complete obedience. Joshua 4:14 says, "That day the Lord made Joshua a great leader in the eyes of all the Israelites. And for the rest of his life, they revered him as much as they had revered Moses." It says, that day, God elevated Joshua in their eyes. In the middle of your obedience to God's command, listen to this, he's going to exalt you. Right in the middle of being obedient, when you're obedient in the midst of the storm, when you're in the obedient in the midst of the struggle, when you're obedient in the midst of come what may, God begins to exalt you in the midst of your enemies, in the midst of your peers, in the midst of everybody around you. God begins to exalt you in their eyes. God will honor you when you're obedient. God will bless you. God will cause others to respect you. Our focus is obedience. His response is honor. Our focus is obedience. His response is honor. I love this. Sometimes we get our eyes off the prize. We're focused on everything else. But if we bring it back down, focus on obedience to what God has given us in this season. I'm focused on obedience to what God has called, the dream God has called, the promise God has called. I'm focused on it with obedience, and his response is honor, is blessing, is breakthrough, is miracles. And then Joshua 4:20, we see the people of God carries these 12 stones to Gilgal. The people of God carry the memorial all the way to Gilgal. And Gilgal actually means circle of stones. And I thought this was great because the people of God brought the memorial with him to the place they camped. And then the camp became known as the memorial. You see, wherever you show up, you carry your memorial with you. And when you carry your memorial with you, then that place becomes renamed to memorial. I don't know about you, but everywhere I go, I'm taking my testimony with me. So when I show up, now the new name of where I'm at becomes testimony. I don't think you realize the power of that. When on my lips and in my heart, I have my testimony of what God has done for me. When I show up, no matter what the place was called before, it could have been called struggle. It could have been called rejection. It could have been called battle. It could have been called warfare. It's now called testimony. It's renamed testimony. So when we go, where we go, on our process to our purpose, on our process to our promise, we carry with us our testimony. When I carry what God has done with me in the past, I am inviting my current circumstance to be my next testimony. You see, I'm carrying my previous testimony into my current circumstance, and now it begins to transform my current circumstance into my next testimony. When I carry what God has done for me in the past, when I carry my testimony into my new season becomes my new testimony. The key to your promised land is your testimony. We want to talk about possessing the promise. Carry your testimony with you. You want to talk about possessing, not just talking about, not just dreaming about the promise that God has given you. Carry your testimony. The testimony is the key to your promise. Actually, one of the names of the ark that the priest carried was called the Ark of the Testimony. Oh my goodness. And inside that sacred box was the tablets, the Ten Commandments. It's what God had done with Moses. It's what God had done with the children of Israel. And they also had inside this sacred box of the testimony, they had some manna when God provided, when they didn't have anything to eat, God provided manna. And so they had some things inside that box they were carrying with them. That was their testimony. When I come into whatever season that I'm going into, I'm carrying my testimony. you wonder why you don't have the power to transform your current circumstance. Maybe you forgot to bring your testimony. You need to go back to where God touched you, moved with you, blessed you, moved the last miracle. Take that miracle into your current situation and say, look, here's my testimony. Here's my testimony. The children of Israel knew better than to show up without the ark of the testimony. Joshua 1:5. I love this part. I love this part. Now they're carrying the testimony. They built a memorial. They got the ark. Everywhere they go, they're changing the name. They're changing the name. And then it says Joshua 5:1. It says, when all the Amorite kings west of the Jordan and all the Canaanite kings who lived along the Mediterranean coast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan River so the people of Israel could cross. Listen, they lost heart and were paralyzed with fear because of them. Listen, here's a good reason, if any, to carry your testimony is because all your enemies are going to lose heart when you show up with the testimony of what God did for you in the previous season. There's nothing that shakes the devil. There's nothing that scares demons when you show up with the testimony of knowing who you are and knowing what God did in the previous season of your life. I'm not showing up empty-handed. I'm showing up with the weapon of my testimony. It says they lost heart and they were paralyzed with fear because of them. When the enemy begins to hear your testimony, they are going to melt in fear. The Bible says demons tremble at the sound of Jesus. Listen, when the demons hear the sound of Jesus in the middle of your testimony, they begin to shake. They begin to get worried. They begin to get concerned when they hear the Jesus in your testimony. It's going to start to move stuff. It's going to start to shake enemies out of your way because Jesus is in your testimony, and that scares your enemy. The devil knows his days are numbered. Your enemy knows his days are numbered. And when you talk about the things that God has done in your life, it reminds him of his imminent defeat. When I show up and I start talking about the goodness of God, when I show up and I start talking about what God has done in my life, let me tell you something, it reminds the devil of his imminent defeat. Every victory that I talk about with Jesus reminds him of his defeat. Every time you talk about the things of God and the times that God showed up for you and the times that God moved and made miracles happen in your life, it reminds him that he is a defeated foe. And so this is what it says. Joshua 5:2. And I want to start to wind down with this. When they get to Gilgal, Joshua knows they're about to go to war. Anybody ever had a knowing that you're about to go to war? You're going to have to go to war over what God has you doing, over what God has called you to do, over your calling. You knew you're going to go to war. Joshua knows this. He knows. And he's looking at his people and he says, it's a new season. This is a new group of people, a new generation of Israelites he was leading. And this group had never been circumcised. And in the Bible, the significance of circumcision is covenant. In the Old Testament, it was an outward sign that you were in covenant with God. But in the New Testament, God began to even clarify circumcision and refine the meaning to be the condition of our heart as believers. The circumcision of the heart, it says in the New Testament. And so circumcision was no longer something that was external. Circumcision had become the condition of our heart towards God and his covenant. Colossians 2:11 says, rather, when you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you are raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. See, in the New Testament and in this new season of our life, God wants us to take a look at our hearts and see if our hearts are circumcised. What is the posture of our heart? Do we have hearts to follow His commands? Before you go into battle and you go confidently trying to take your promise, do like Joshua did. Take a look at your heart. Take a look at how you're postured. Before you go into the thick of battle, make sure your heart is in the right place. What a tragedy to wait to get into the midst of the battle to find out that you're holding something in your heart that you needed to let go, or that your heart isn't right before the Lord. Joshua says, before we go into battle, we need to make sure everyone is circumcised. Let everybody be circumcised before you go into battle. Before you go to possess your promise, circumcise your heart. Circumcise your heart. If there was two things that I want to leave you with today, number one, it's circumcise your heart. For this season, take a look at your heart. Is there something that you need to cut away? Is there something that you need the help of God, of the Holy Spirit, to help you cut away for this season so you can have victory? So that you can actually possess, not come close to possessing in this next season, but to fully possess all that God has had for you. Number one, circumcise your heart. Number two, in Joshua 5:8, they had just received this. In Joshua 5:8, it says, just as important as circumcising your heart is healing. He said, everybody needs to stay here until you're healed. We don't want to go fight while people are still wounded. While people are still recovering. A lot of times we go into battle. We go into life and we're still hurting. Our heart is broken. Maybe we've had tragedy. Maybe we've had trauma. Maybe we've had things that we haven't addressed in our heart. And we need to be healed. Let me tell you something. The great healer is in this house today. The great healer is in this house today. And before you walk into this next season, can I tell you two things? Circumcise your heart and make sure that you're healed. You cannot go about the powerful work, the courageous work of possessing your promise without circumcising your heart and making sure that you're healed. Will you stand with me today? Maybe there's something that God wants to touch in your heart today. Maybe it's something that God wants to cut away. Maybe it's something that God wants to heal. Whether it's the circumcision of the heart, whether it's the healing of the heart, God wants to touch you. The power of transformation in just one moment in God's presence. He can transform things that we cannot transform in hours, in days, in years. God in a moment can transform our lives. Can we just lift up our hands and thank Him today? Can we just begin to just lift up our own prayer of thanksgiving and say, God, I thank You for how You've brought me to this place. God, I thank You for, Lord, what You're doing in this season of my life. God, I thank You, Father, for how You've brought me through, and God, for the promise that You're bringing me to. God, I thank You, Father, that it's not just, I'm not going around the mountain one more time. I'm not just going to continue to go around in circles, but God, I want to move forward with vision of the promise. I want to possess, God, everything that You have promised me. Lord, I thank You for Your people today, God, that have hearts. God, give them hearts for obedience, God. To follow every command, God. Lord, Father, because when we step out in obedience, Your response is honor. Our focus is obedience. Your response is honor. We thank You for that in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.